All right, Dan, let's go to hour number three. I am Jim Rome. It's a three-hour program. Nice to have you here. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. In this third and final hour, a conversation with NFL free agent Wesley Woodyard. That's coming up in 40 minutes. So the next two segments are wide open. Your telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Lots of different things to get to. Let me just circle back very quickly. I did a full-length, long-form rant to start the program. It's one of those shows whereby, in radio parlance, you should reset because the audience recycles. It turns over. So in a lot of ways, for a lot of shows, people will go back at the top of the hour and just keep banging away at the same things they've already talked about. I could, I should, I do, I will. Not in the long form, but I did start the program by talking about the Dodgers and the Astros and Joe Kelly, going Joe Kelly last night. And we talked about whether or not it was intentional, whether he threw at Alex Bregman, and if that was out of line, if he did, because he went behind his head. And then if he intentionally threw at Carlos Correa, and the fact that both dugouts emptied. And then you had Joe Kelly making faces and talking junk, but insisting that it was not intentional. Then I had Dodgers manager Dave Roberts on, and we talked about a few things. And I thought Dave Roberts was great. I thought he was very candid. I started off when we got to that topic by asking him, all right, Dave, like, given the history between these two teams, given the fact that the Astros cheated, got caught, and then nothing really happened, given what was said in the aftermath, how did you approach last night's game? In other words, was it just another regular season game, or maybe, Dave, was it more than that?
It felt different. And I try to preach and talk about every game is of the same importance, and you've got to have that same psyche and mindset. And I really do believe that. But understanding who the opponent was, you know, what transpired in November, December, what kind of came out, and then following that, all the banter back and forth in the media from players, and then ultimately the penalty that was handed down, rightfully so, and then you come back to essentially the scene of the crime. And, so when we got to the ballpark, it was different. It wasn't the jovial, the music blared. It was kind of a quiet, calm focus, and we took that into the game. And obviously you get to the game and then the incident with Joe Kelly and things kind of escalate a little bit more.
All right, so I respect that. You know, Dave Roberts didn't give you a bunch of baseball talk, mumbo-jumbo garbage. He said, yeah, you know what? It was different. So he was pretty upfront about that. And then we got into whether or not Joe Kelly was intentionally throwing at guys. Again, I'm going to say, I don't know. I'm not in that guy's head. I'm not in that guy's heart. I don't know what his intent was. I know that he was not there and a member of that team when the Astros cheated to beat them. I really don't know. I can say this about Kelly. He's wild. He is erratic. Look at the stats. Look at his career. Look at him earlier in that game. It's not like this guy was painting the corners and then all of a sudden just lost it. Again, we're talking about a guy who in the offseason during the shutdown was in his backyard trying to throw to a net and not only missed the net, but broke the window, his own window. That's how wild this guy is. So in a major league setting, I can see where this guy might have a little bit of trouble finding the plate. He couldn't find a net. All right, with that in mind, I do want to talk about one of the most anticipated fights in UFC history because now it's official. In fact, I can't wait to get to that. But this kind of piqued my interest. I'm checking out my call screen right here, and there's a call from Santa Barbara and an ethics professor from my alma mater, UC Santa Barbara, something that we fondly refer to as the Harvard of the West. All right, nobody responds or refers to that except me. We go to Santa Barbara. Hey, Hawk, before you lauded her, is she a PhD? Is she a doctor? Let's find out. We go to Santa Barbara. Hello, Professor. How are you, Lori?
I'm doing well, thank you. I love that Harvard of the West reference.
Well, thank you very much. It's accurate, right?
That's great. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Jim, I'm a longtime listener. It's a pleasure to talk to you. And I really admire what you've been doing this year in terms of the pandemic and the issues raised by Black Lives Matter and the coverage that you've been giving to all of that, sports definitely takes a second place, you know, to those issues.
You know, Lori, I appreciate you saying that. Can I, should I, how should I refer to you? Are you Lori? Are you doctor?
I am, actually, I'm a lawyer and a professor at UC Santa Barbara.
Can I, before you tell me what you're going to tell me, and I'm really anxious to hear that, can I say to you that when I got my start in Santa Barbara in the late 80s, and I was just getting started, there was a famous, famous professor on campus named Walter Capps. Do you remember him or do you know of him?
He's, absolutely. I know him. I know his family well.
Okay, so he said to me, I worked at a news talk station in Santa Barbara, KTMS, and he was in one day, and I have no idea how he even knew who I was, but he said to me, I want you to know, young man, you shape opinion. You have a significant responsibility in this community with that microphone. You know that, right? I said, I'm not sure, Professor, but that made such an impression upon me, and I think that's a story that I've always kept near to my heart, and I thought that you might appreciate that because I thought you might know him.
Oh, my God, I totally have goosebumps hearing that. That is so Walter to say that to you. And I will tell his wife, Lois, who I speak with pretty regularly, that you remembered that and that it had that kind of impact on you. That's extraordinary.
Oh, no, I'm so thrilled. I'm so thrilled that you still have a relationship with her and you could share that with her. And the other thing I remember, you know, I took his Vietnam class. And at that time, that was the only Vietnam class in the entire country.
Yeah.
And I remember him saying how important it was to welcome the vets home. To make sure you welcome all the vets home. So that stayed with me, too. I'm anxious to hear what brings you to the program today.
Well, you know, I've thought about calling before. I'm such a long-time listener. My kids grew up listening to the Smack-Offs, right? I always think you cover everything, and you don't need any help with your takes and or any amplification. But, you know, the caller that was on this whole MLB thing is driving me nuts. From an ethical and a legal standpoint. And the caller who was on in the first part of the show, who said there is no objective standard that baseball should be guided by, is simply not correct in that aspect of what he said. And that's what I want to talk to you about. If you run it down, this thing has been mishandled from the minute that Juan Soto tested positive. I mean, look at Lou Williams. He's in quarantine for 10 days because he was outside of the bubble doing whatever. And once the Nationals had a positive player, in my opinion, those guys should have been quarantined because what they did was then play the Yankees and expose the Yankees. And you've got four Marlins who tested positive on Sunday. The idea of asking the players is insane because, as you said, players play. Players are paid to play. Players want to get their stats. It's a total conflict of interest to ask the players to make that decision. And what Rob Manfred is doing by not stopping play when there were, yesterday was it 13 or 14 Marlins that were reported to be positive, what he's doing is engaging in what in either civil law or criminal law would be called reckless endangerment. And, you know, MLB has a fleet of people working for them. They've got house counsel. I don't know why their house counsel isn't jumping up and down screaming about reckless endangerment at this point. If they don't know what that is, they can ask Alexa. You could ask Alexa, what is reckless endangerment? And she'll tell you.
Right.
It is. Seriously, I'm serious.
I really appreciate what you're saying. Let me ask you this. I think that the person that you're talking about is Andy McCullough. He's a senior baseball writer for The Athletic.
Correct.
I may be wrong. I think that you're saying the same thing. I think that's what he was saying. When he said that there's no objective standard, I think he was saying what you're saying. Why was there not an objective standard in place? I mean, maybe they want to have some flexibility. Maybe they want to be fluid. Maybe they want to make money. What do you know? Maybe they want to make some money. But at the same time, I think that what we're saying is that there was no objective standard in the sense that if one guy tests positive, then you shut down this team. Or if it's four guys, man, they're just going with it. Like, what exactly is the plan?
Yeah, no, that's right. But when you get to 13 or 14
right.
or whatever it's going to be, it's reckless endangerment because reckless endangerment is when somebody engages in conduct that creates a risk of serious physical injury to another person while disregarding the foreseeable consequences. And so there is a standard, and Manfred should be enforcing that standard. Because really, who is acting on behalf of the, not just the players, but the hotel staffs and the taxis and the bus drivers and everybody else they come into contact
with? Let me ask you this, in terms of who's acting on behalf of the players, you know, the Players Association, certainly arguably, do they bear any responsibility? Like, they don't have to play. They certainly can opt out. They know what they're doing. How much responsibility do the players bear?
Well, that's a really good question, because that whole negotiation, that led to the 60-game season, didn't really get into that. It was all about, as Andy McCullough said, it was really all about the money. And at this point, if they put all of these four teams into quarantine, they don't have an MLB season, and then they've lost all the money that everybody negotiated for. Mm. I mean, it's incredibly ill-advised to go ahead without having a number that could serve as their standard. And then, you know, you've got MLB, you've got Manfred with a tremendous conflict of interest, because he can't be objective in making this decision, because he has too much involved personally, and he's going to get too much heat from the owners.
Right, who he works for. Let me ask you really quickly, Lori. I'm curious, since I have a son who started at the University of Wisconsin-Madison this past year, what's going on campus? Are the kids coming back to school? Are classes going to be online? Has this been decided? What is the UC system doing?
I'd rather speak to UC Santa Barbara.
Okay. Sure.
Than the whole UC system, because I'm not sure that the whole UC system is on the same program at this point. But most definitely, UCSB is only having remote learning this fall quarter and probably this winter quarter.
Mm.
Now, that, you know, you know the kind of impact that's going to have. Freebirds is still open because there are, you know, a lot of kids that still live in La Vista, and a lot of people who live in the Santa Barbara area who love that place, myself included, and go there. But there will not be classes, and there will not be fall sports at UCSB.
Right. I wonder how's that going to impact Sam's To Go? And is Sam's To Go still around? And is Mayor Dad still around? Lori, you did not go there as an undergraduate, did you?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
But you ended up there, and that's what matters.
I ended up there. Yeah, I went to UCLA, and then I went to Bolt, the law school at UC Berkeley.
Oh, come on now. I don't want to age you, but my attorney and best man went to Bolt Law School.
All right.
And he is the smartest guy I know, David Feldman.
Well,
Lori,
okay,
we're getting carried away. You know how, like, there's this notion that if I'm the talk show host and I'm talking to an audience of millions, I'm really only talking to one person. The problem is I'm only really talking to one person. Like, you and I just picked up this conversation like it's a phone conversation. So I think responsibly I need to return you to your life of ethics and being a professor at UCSB. But I can't tell you how happy I am to meet you, to talk to you. And please share that. What I said with you or to you about the Caps family, that'd mean a lot to me.
Absolutely. Absolutely, I will. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for taking the call, Jim.
So nice to meet you, Lori. Thank you so much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
That's what'll happen. It's my show. All right. It's kind of a good moment. It's kind of a great moment. Hey, listen, I've said this a million times. Almost all of us inevitably are extremely proud of our schools, except Hawk. I'm a proud gaucho. The gauchos are a proud, proud lot. Jake Rome is a member of that so-called Badger Mafia now. The Wisconsin fam is extremely proud. I've seen it firsthand. Any of us would say that about our family. So when a professor at a college that you attended calls you up, how are you not going to have that conversation? How are you not going, especially when she calls up and says she's an ethics professor and wants to talk about the ethics of the pandemic as it relates to sports? In other words, the proverbial elevation of the conversation. That's what that was. Lori is a professor and a lawyer. I think that she was agreeing with Annie McCullough, or I think she wanted to make the point that, oh, absolutely, there's a standard. There better be a standard. All right. Good times. Really good times. 1-800-636-8686. Do any of you have college kids? Are they going back to school? Are they going to attend class online? Are they staying home? How are you approaching it? We're all having that conversation right now. When we return, another open segment for you. Then Wesley Woodyard. Years of research, hundreds of tests, thousands of iterations. and the result, the latest and dreamiest in sleep innovation, introducing the new mattresses from Casper. Casper has done it yet again with all new mattresses. Are you waking up with back pain? Then we have Zone Support, Casper's unique ergonomic system designed to keep your spine aligned when you sleep. Then there's something brand new called AirScape, engineered foam layers with perforations that help regulate your sleep temperature. So from bedding, bed frames, and even a dog bed, Casper's got everything you need to build a dream bedroom for every kind of sleeper. I love mine. Best mattress ever, hands down. I tell that to everybody I know. Now Casper is offering free contactless delivery. And as always, free returns. Go to Casper.com and use the code ROME. Get $100 off your mattress order. Code name ROME. $100 off your mattress order. Terms and conditions do apply. See Casper.com/terms.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Getting some reaction on that last segment. Welcome back. Kevin Marr tweets, yes, this shout out to Freebirds and Sam's to go. Sam's to go has got to come first. Freebirds is legendary, but you go back to my time, my generation, Francisco Torres, 2 North, my man Murdad. Murdad was the best. Murdad ran Sam's to go with an iron fist. He had some attitude. He was great. I remember I went back there 1 year. I don't even know, 10 years, 15 years, whatever. He was shaking his head. He's like, man, it was so much better when you guys were here. It's just not the same. And that was probably 15 or 20 years ago. Mike in LFK tweets, this call deserves a golden ticket. No BS, no trash talk, no trying to be funny, a straightforward, intelligent take on MLB. Rack her. You know why? You know why that was straightforward, no trash talk, no BS? Because she is a professor of ethics and a lawyer and got her law degree from Bolt, one of the best law schools ever, because she's really smart. I like that, man. I like a female voice on the show. We don't have enough of that. We just don't. Smart, tough, well-reasoned. That's a really good call. At Apple Pasta tweets, dear Jim, great to have the professor to raise the level of discourse. Now can we have Jerome from Houston on again so we can wallow in more discussions about squirrels? Sincerely, a concerned clone. All right, you tell me.
Boob.
Hold on. You tell me what you got more out of and who did a better job of elevating the conversation. Our ethics professor, Lori, from UC Santa Barbara, or the professor of life, Jerome, in Houston? He was talking about
squirrels, so we'll just focus on chipmunks.
Chipmunks.
They have lost their ability to hunt for food on their own. Now, if you know anything about these little animals, when there wasn't all these people ruining their nut gathering skills, because that's what they do. They search for walnuts, peanuts, any kind of pinion nuts. That's what they live on. And what's happening is they lost that skill. So when you see them, they're struggling along. I saw one crossing a creek down here. We call it, you might call it a stream. We call it a creek. Anyway, he was crossing the creek, swimming on his belly, and he got all his nuts wet. When he went the nose, when you're gathering nuts, if you get them wet, they're going to rot, and you can't even eat them in the winter when times get tough. So just remember, chipmunks and everyone out there, when you're hauling nuts, swim on your back to keep your nuts dry. I'm out.
I don't know exactly what to make of that. I mean, he said, just remember, chipmunks, or anybody else out there who is hauling nuts, when you're hauling nuts across a creek, swim on your back to keep your nuts dry. All right. Who hauls nuts? Who is accumulating nuts? Chipmunks. So, bro, you're talking to chipmunks. You're using me. You're using my megaphone to address the chipmunks of the world. Jerome, I mean, I appreciate your concern for them. I don't know that's the best way to get at them. D-Rod in the 925 tweets, damn, Jimmy, that call was probably one of your best interviews ever. War Lady Clones. I did say to D-Dub right afterwards, my man, good book. Really good book getting Lori on. You never know. Let's try another phone call. 1-800-636-8686. Yeah, okay. This goes back to another guy who was a part of the program. Not a part of the program yesterday, but became content and show fodder today because of something he did yesterday. Once again, a really quick reset. Olympian Bob Samuelson called the show from a golf course. We said what golf course it was. Jeff in SoCal conveniently had a tee time on that same golf course. Jeff in SoCal found said Olympian Bob Samuelson and pushed across a photograph. Adam Hawk saw the photograph. Adam Hawk, who apparently is the self-appointed tastemaker or authoritarian on golf etiquette, smashed Jeff in SoCal for the way he dressed. Jeff in SoCal would like to come on the air and talk about that briefly. Jeff, what's up? How are you?
Jim, how are you, my man?
Good, dude. You?
You know, after hearing what Hawk had to say, you know, spent the last hour and a half kind of reflecting, and I'd like to apologize to absolutely no one. Jimmy, dude, first of all, my game is trash. Let me tell you, I shot 103 yesterday, Jim. I've only been playing for about the last month while work has slowed down. And for me, golf is more of a outdoor day drinking activity. It's a lot easier to tell my pregnant wife that I'm going, quote unquote, golfing than just crack a White Claw open in front of her at 11:30 in the morning on a Wednesday. So that's kind of where I'm at. And Jim, I was in the very exclusive Peloton Lululemon golf shirt yesterday. I would take that that shirt over Hawk's gear any day. So, again, not sorry. I will continue playing the way I like to play, which is with a cold beverage and pretty terrible.
Oh, man. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Rack him, Jeff in SoCal. I'll rack that call.
Rack him.
I knew for a fact that guy was not apologizing. Yeah, Jeff in SoCal. When was the last time that guy apologized for anything at all, much less that? I love that this guy at middle age or however old Jeff is picking up golf for the first time in the middle of a pandemic while his wife is pregnant. So he can say, yeah, I'm going golfing as opposed to I'm going to the bar or as opposed to cracking open that White Claw in the middle of the morning. I don't know, dude. I don't know how you're going to do that. I'm not sure how you'll handle your business. I would suggest to you, get it in now. Get it in now before the kid arrives. It's going to be tougher to sell that, my man. If I were you, I'd try to break 100 before then. What did he say he wore? His Peloton Lululemon? Lululemon shirt from Peloton. All right. I can see that. I can see that. This guy apologized. He goes, I apologize for absolutely nothing. Yeah, I know. I know this, Jeff. You certainly did not apologize for your 20 years of WNBA takes. You certainly did not apologize for your takes on Mona. I know you didn't apologize for your take on The Private. Dude, you've never apologized for anything, and you never will.
Private.
Have you ever owned anything or apologized for anything? No. So he's sticking his guns. Bob Samuelson owned it. Jeff in SoCal is not. Next up, 1-800-636-8686. You know, the show onto itself, the show within the show has been so strong this week. I have left so many good takes on the table. I've left so much good content on the floor that I wanted to get to because the show within the show has been so good this week. You know, like when the show generates content, when the show is organic. You know, like a professor calling out of nowhere, a female professor from UC Santa Barbara calling to break down the ethics of the pandemic as it relates to Major League Baseball and the NBA. That's good show, organic content. Jeff in SoCal, not as much. Hawk melting down the way he did. And it's only midweek. Dave Stewart is my guest on the Jim Rome Podcast, episode 138. If you have not figured out how podcasts work the way mine works, it's a great thing, clones. It's free. It's premium. It's long form. Look for it. Episode 138. Now, Adam, as I'm sure you're aware, as the EP of this show, I have a guest next segment, and I have an ATP that I'm obligated to do. So I would imagine you would have that for me right now before I go to that next segment where we have a guest, correct? Uh-oh. There he is. Look at Hawk. ATP, the Ask the Pros. It's a segment where Bella B in Calgary gets to ask me a question a few times a week. And as she knows, it's brought to her by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. And excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day.
I love when you talk hockey.
Bella B asks, what is something that your kids are better at than you? Thanks. Bella B in Calgary. Video games. Fortnite. PS4. Logan is way better at that than me. Let's see. What is Jake Rome better at than me? Jake Rome. Let me think. I'm better looking. He's taller than I am. He's better at height. I got better hair. Jake Rome's an amazing kid. I'm just messing with you, Jake. I'm going to go with video games, obviously. Obviously. Let's see. Jake's better in the weight room. He likes to throw the weights around. Logan's getting there quickly. What else? I don't know, man. I got to be honest. I'm better at most things than them. I mean, I'm dad, right? I'm supposed to be. I'm a better athlete. Definitely a better athlete than Jake. Logan's a better athlete than Jake. I'm a better athlete than Jake. Jake's mother is a better athlete. She's a good athlete, Janet, by the way. She ran track at Long Beach Poly, and she played volleyball at Long Beach Poly. She was a good athlete. Does that answer your question? I'm better at drinking, but I don't know how long that's going to last. Yeah! Jimmos, which member of the XR4TI gave the most effort today? D-Dub. I mean, all the guys hammered hard. I was in this morning at 5:40 a.m. Hawk was already here, so he's putting in the effort. Rit doesn't do much but pound sugar. Grunt at me as I go by. Just kidding, Rit. He works hard. He got in. He beats me in most mornings, but I beat him in today first. Well, second, but, you know, Alvin gets after it. Always. The whole crew works hard. I don't want to single anyone out, but if I'm going to say, probably D-Dub. He's a warrior. All right, and now we break. That was a cringy, awkward segment for many of you, my kids included.
Break.
When we come back, class act, great vet, great leader, great voice, great point of view, Wesley Woodyard. That's coming up. Another big day here in the jungle. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. I'm still live. I'm in Southern California in our SoCal-based studios. Good to be with you. One last segment. We are joined right now by a good friend of the program. He is entering his 13th NFL season. He spent the last six seasons with the Titans, the 2017 Titans recipient of the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, three-time Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee while in Denver. Played his college ball in Kentucky. He was undrafted back in 08. He is the co-founder of the 16 Ways Foundation, and I would love to reiterate he is a good friend of the program. He is Wesley Woodyard. Wesley, it is so good to have you back. Let me first ask, you and I caught up back in April, but the way life is these days, it already feels, Wesley, like that was 3 years ago. How are you doing right now? How is everybody around you?
What's up, Jim? What's up, Jungle? Man, we're doing great, man. Me and the fam, man, we're in good spirits, man. We're out on the water. My wife's kicking my butt every day in golf, so I'm enjoying myself, man. We're doing good. How about you guys?
Oh, same. That's so good to hear you say that. You know, that whole water thing, you and I have talked about that in the past. Wesley, I have to say, I spent a couple of weeks back on the lake. I now fully understand the lake life. I know now what you've been talking about regarding the lake life. For a minute, explain, why is the water so important and why does it make you feel different? Explain lake life for those who don't know.
Man, for me, lake life, man, I wake up every morning with a choice and a decision to either attack the day or not attack today. But when I get out there and I walk past to my kids' room and I see that lake water flowing in the back, it just refreshes my mind, makes me just realize and appreciate everything that's going on in this world, especially with COVID, man. You know, some things you just got to cut out of your life, some things that you can't indulge in anymore, and some things you can't do. But, man, lake life, man, refreshes you. You get out there on that water, you enjoy it, you have fun, you see your kids floating and swimming around, and it just it makes you appreciate things, man, because that water is just a symbol of ever-flowing, you know, love, man. And to me, that's what I love about the lake life.
Wesley Woodyard joining us. I want to ask you one thing about what you just said. I love that notion of you get up in the morning and you have a decision to make every single morning. Am I going to attack the day or am I not going to do so? Are there days when you don't? Like, I'm sure there are days where maybe you don't want to. Yeah, so what do you – I mean, are there off days? Do you take days off or do you attack every day and are there no off days?
Man, you know what? I consider it like a team. You know, there's going to be some days you go into the gym where you're not going to be the best you. You're not going to be, you know, always amped up. You're not going to have all the energy that you need. But if you pour it into the people around you, they're going to not necessarily carry the weight, but they're going to make sure that you are going to step your game up. You're going to arise to the challenges of the day. So, man, I have a great wife. My kids, man, they're like little miniature me. So I can't never really have an off day. I'm a father of four, so every day is a new challenge for me, man. And it's exciting that I have I guess I can call my family my teammates too, because they challenge me every day. And kids, man, they don't care if you're having a bad day or a great day. They just want their dad to be around and enjoy them. And that's what I love so much about being a father.
That is extremely well said, and that is so true. Wesley Woodyard is my guest. All right, so over the past few days, we've seen a number of NFL players announce that they're going to opt out for the season. As an NFLPA vice president, what kind of thoughts have you had as you've seen this play out?
It's been interesting, man. From the beginning of the negotiation talks with the owners and just talking to some of the players, you can kind of feel like on the player side that guys almost, I can't speak for everybody, but most guys really just wish that, you know, this would have been one of those years that, hey, fellas, it would have been cool if the owners would have stepped up like, hey, fellas, we're not going to have a season. We're going to come in here. We're going to try to let COVID pass through. There's no way that as a man you can go out there and play football and not expect to, you know, contract COVID. It's a physical, it's a contact, it's an up-in-your-face game. You know, it's different between basketball, baseball, soccer, all of those other sports where you can practice and craft and hone your skills one-on-one sessions away from everybody else. But football, it's hard to do that. You got to be physical with a guy. You got to be in the trenches. You got to work hard in front of another guy to really, you know, hone those game day skills that you need. But man, overall, I'm excited that our PA, we got some great negotiations done with the owners, and we were able to make the safety, player safety, the number one priority for our guys that, you know, want to play the game, man. And I'm not surprised to see guys opting out. We were expecting that, and that's why we wanted to fight so hard to give guys the opportunity to be able to opt out. And it's cool to see guys, you know, expressing their right to want to opt out. Guys are saying they want to be healthy for their family. Guys are just saying they worry for their safety. So that was the main thing in negotiations. And, you know, of course, everybody wanted to get their whole paragraph 5 guaranteed. That's not going to happen because there's so many intangibles and things within the salary cap that most people don't understand. You know, if we get our full paragraph 5 and the season is canceled halfway through the season, that's going to affect the guys coming up in the future CBAs. And that's something that we don't want to affect. We don't want the guys that are in college to be affected by things that are going on this year and vice versa. So
Wesley Woodyard is my guest. You know, it's a really interesting answer. There's a lot to unpack there. Obviously, you're going to fight on behalf of the guys that you represent right now and the guys who are coming up afterwards. On a personal level, have you considered opting out of the season or announcing that you might take the year off and come back next year? Like, how did you and your family approach it?
Yeah, Jim, you know, a lot of thoughts have hit me, man. It's been a crazy off season. You know, usually I'm expected to be reporting to a training camp right now, and I've considered, you know, taking a year off and letting my body heal up, coming back and after the next season. But, you know, man, I'm also a guy that loves the game of football, and I feel that if the right protocols are in place, teams are following, you know, those protocols, and as a PA, we're making sure that they follow those protocols, then, you know, I'll give it a shot. And if the opportunity is right for me, I think playing 12 years in the NFL, I really have the opportunity to now say, hey, if it's not the right deal for me, the right team, then I'm not going. I'll rather consider coming back in the future, you know, and letting my body heal up even more, you know, chiseling away those little bad things in my game and just working on me. But, man, it's tough. And I commend guys that showed up yesterday and the rookies and quarterbacks that showed up before. Man, it takes a lot of guts in this trying time right now, I tell you that, to play this game of football.
Wesley Woodyard, my guest. You know, I wonder, you mentioned 12 years, and that's a massive number, and it's so impressive when you consider that you were undrafted out of Kentucky. Only the absolute best can last that long in the NFL. So given the punishment, given the risks, what keeps you coming back for more at this point?
Man, it's when you were a little kid, you dream about playing in the NFL. And through our high school and little league, like, that's pure love for the game. When you go to college, you still have that love for the game, but you understand, like, hey, there's another business entity that goes on with football. And once you jump into the NFL, immediately you're blindsided by, hey, this is a business. So if you don't have that love that you've built throughout before you got to the NFL, it's going to be hard to last and thrive while you're in the NFL, man. So to me, I just want to go out there and I want to use my platform of playing football to inspire other people to be better, my teammates to be better. And like I said before, I love this game of football. And every day I wake up, man, I'm so proud and so blessed that God chose me to be a football player, to, you know, be an athlete, to carry this torch of being a positive change within our community and within our world. So, man, I love the game, and it's hard to say. Even though I just turned 34, it's hard to say that, man, one of these days I'm going to have to hang it up, because it's something that I've been doing for the majority of my life, and I look forward to playing football every day.
Wesley Woodyard is my guest. You know, one of the things I always appreciate about a conversation that you and I have is we don't only talk football. Before I let you go, I'm curious, what kind of thoughts have you had over the past few months following the murder of George Floyd and the demands for social justice which followed?
Man, the athletic world, oftentimes, man, everybody just wants us to entertain them. Nobody really wants us to stick up for what we believe in. You know, people feel we don't have that right. Just because you're an athlete, you should go sit in the closet and shut up. It's not cool at all, man. But the most shocking thing to me is that the lack of support from fellow teammates, from guys that who are still unsure the reason why people are protesting. You know, that's the oppression of colored people, police brutality. And it's one thing for me to say that I walk outside of the house and I have to carry myself differently, because I know if I'm in a certain situation with an officer, my life is at risk. My child's life is at risk. And I know if I was on the other end of that spectrum and my teammates came to me and told me, said, I'm afraid for my life in these situations, I would do everything in my heart and my power to try and stop that. And that's the beautiful thing about sports, man. The platform that we have, we can change our communities. And when an event or when something like this arises, you can either fold or you can continue to build those monuments that are going to change and make that change that we need inside our community. So, man, I'm proud to say that I'm going to step up for anything that's wrong, and I'm going to continue to fight that beast of oppression, that's scary cycle that's going on in this world, and I'm gonna make sure that guys aren't afraid to, you know, express themselves, because I don't want to ramble, but I remember when Kaepernick first took a knee, we felt like as players that our coaches and our owners wanted us to shut up and hush and just let things go because it was going to eventually hurt their pockets. And that's the main thing. If it's going to hurt your money financially, then as long as we get our point across and that you guys hear us and show us the support, that's what we're asking for. We're It's not like we're going out there doing anything crazy. Like, we're asking to be heard and to be supported for our lives. And that's just humanity. At the end of the day, that's just being a human.
Wesley, I agree with you. I agree with everything you just said. He's entering his 13th NFL season. He is a good friend of the program. He is the co-founder of the 16 Ways Foundation. And he played his ball at Kentucky, college ball, that is. My man, enjoy the rest of the day. Get some good lake life. Enjoy the fam. And you know I appreciate you very much, Wesley. Good to get caught up.
Hey, Jim, man, you continue being a great man. Love you and respect, bro. Talk to you soon.
Man, you continue being a great man, Wesley. And I love you and much respect. Wesley Woodyard, that's how you end a show. You could start a show like that. You can end a show like that. That could be an entire show. Great, great friend of the program. And I appreciate that relationship so much. Wesley Woodyard was a guest. And Dave Roberts, an amazing guest back in hour number one. Andy McCullough came in. Huge call today brought to you by Eno, Capital One. Eno is the Capital One assistant, which looks out for surprise credit card charges and helps if you need to fix them. Eno, another way that Capital One is watching out for your money when you are not. Capital One, exactly what is in your wallet. See CapitalOne.com for details. Quick reminder, we're going to push out episode 138 of the Jim Rome podcast with Dave Stewart. You do not want to miss that. That's a really good ep. My thanks to the XR4TI. They all went hard, except D-Dub went the hardest. That's it. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.